The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Immunity Armor Gold is the most advanced immunity-boosting formula you can get in one product. Go to ImmunityArmorGold.com and use the promo code TOD10 to get 10% off. That's ImmunityArmorGold.com, promo code TOD10.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Happy Friday to you. Good to have you with us. Todd Starnes here. Yes, we are live. That's right. We don't do replays here on the Todd Starnes radio program. And this is not a pre-recorded podcast. We do 3 hours of live radio every day, Monday through Friday, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we have got a terrific show lined up for you today. I want to run down the guest list, and then we're going to jump into all of this. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be here. Jason Miller from Getter.com. And you got to follow us on Getter. We're Todd Starnes. We got the red check mark thing there. Our good friend Mark Meadows, former chief of staff for President Trump, is going to be here. And also Caleb Park, who is a managing editor for ToddStarnes.com. And he has a terrific new column up over on the website. I would encourage you to check that out. I want you to go ahead and write down our telephone number. You are going to need this. If you want to call in and join in on the conversation today, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to start out with a very interesting story. You know, we have we've got a lot to talk about with election fraud going on in New Jersey, where it looks like they're attempting to steal that governor's race. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, pushing this massive infrastructure bill and package. We're going to talk about that. Look, the Republicans are pretty confident that this thing is going to just implode, and it needs to implode. And we're going to get to that story in just a little while. But I want to start off the show it's a very different way. And this is sort of a weird thing. But last night, I was honored to be the honorary chairperson for the Mid-America Passion Play, and it's something they've done here for years, really for decades, here in the Memphis area, and it is a retelling of the crucifixion and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's just one of these, and you probably have something very similar in your town, your community, wherever you might live, and I was just humbled to even be asked to be a part of this. And so the whole team went, Grace and Kyle, you guys were there, and Grace in this beautiful dress. That was stunning last night.
Well, thank
people,
you.
People were looking at our table, and I thought, oh, they were looking at me. They weren't looking at me. They were looking at Kyle. They were looking at Grace Baker.
They might have been looking at the boot.
Possibly the boot. And then Kyle was wearing a suit.
I know. All the guys were dressed up.
So we got the pictures up on our Facebook page, and you can we cleaned up pretty nice is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I think we did. And anyway, we had 300 people there in the room. One of the best auctioneers. I think the head of the Lance and Terry Walker, they are the auctioneers, and they do like FedEx, all these major corporations, they do these auctions. St. Jude Hospital. I'd never been a part of one of these kinds of fundraising auctions. And, I was hoping that we were going to bid. And the goal was they had a wheelbarrow full of my favorite snack foods, Brim's Snack Foods, the best pork rinds in the world. And they had like a wheelbarrow full. And we were going to bid, and we got outbid.
Yeah, those pork rinds, man. People want their pork rinds.
And then, like, somebody bid, like, $2,500 for, like, the fancy Japanese beef.
Yes, the Wagyu beef.
Ooh, boy, that
looks... is very good.
But fortunately, the guy, we're friends with that guy, so I think he's going to invite us over for steak night.
Awesome.
But anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm just watching this room full of people. And something hit me, and I got a little sentimental.
No.
And I wanted to share this with you this morning, because I think it's important. You know, we're going through a heck of a time in this country right now. I mean, even after the incredible victories over the Tuesday and Wednesday with Winsome Sears, the first black lieutenant governor of Virginia, you got the first Cuban American attorney general of Virginia. You got a 60-year-old truck driver for Raymore and Flanagan, the furniture store. He beat the longtime Senate president in New Jersey. You got a 19-year-old kid who thumped a school board member in New Jersey. I mean, some incredible stuff happened. There was a guy who, this was part of my morning commentary. And there was, and I know this sounds a little convoluted right now, so just bear with me, and I'm going to be able to bring it all in together. But there was a guy who is a member. He writes for the Atlantic magazine, and those people are horrible human beings. I mean, they really are just they are the armpit of the earth, and they always write nasty lies. They hate me, but they're very intellectual. So. The guy's name is Tom Nichols, and he was a member of the Lincoln Project, and that's that pedophile group. I think President Trump correctly called them perverts, and they're a big anti-Trump activist group. So anyway, this guy is really he has friends in low places, as they say. So anyway, Mr. Nichols yesterday he wrote a tweet and he was mocking Ed Durr. Now, he's the truck driver that we were talking about. And he said, you know, apparently Mr. Durr said that he was inspired to run for office. Somebody asked him, okay, why does a guy who's never been in politics, a guy who's a truck driver, a guy who's just a regular Joe, who spent what? Just under $100 or something for his primary campaign, under $10,000 for the general campaign, his incredibly powerful TV commercial. And we played some of that yesterday on the show. That was actually filmed not by a Hollywood production crew. It was created on the guy's cell phone. He did a cell phone. It was a good cell phone video. And that was his campaign commercial. And he crushed the sitting Democrat New Jersey Senate president. And Mr. Durr, in one of these interviews, says he was inspired to run, not because he wanted to make a lot of money, not because he wanted, you know, to become famous. He ran for office because he was denied a concealed carry permit. That's what propelled him to run for the race. So this guy, Nichols, who was of the formerly of the Lincoln Project, he responded on Twitter and said, oh, well, if that's the reason why, what a fine, informed lawmaker he'll be. You know, one of these condescending little blank holes. You know what I'm talking about? You know the types. Okay, buttholes. But you know what I'm talking about. I didn't mean to curse, but, you know, you know the kind of people, you know? They just kind of look down on the rest of us. This is what I call, and the guy claims to be a Republican, and this is a big problem we have within the Republican Party. There are blue-collar conservatives, and then you have the country club intellectuals. And the intellectuals look down on everybody. And I don't get it, but they do. But here's the problem with his thinking. In reality, Ed Durr is just the kind of candidate you want running for office, right? You want a guy who's saying, well, wait a second. Why can't I get a concealed carry? I drive a truck. It's a dangerous job. You never know when somebody's going to try to carjack me, especially if I'm driving on I-240 in Memphis, Tennessee. You got to be able to protect yourself. He realized his rights had been infringed upon. And so he did something about it. He said, well, by golly, if I can't get any relief from the people that have been in office for all these years, then I'm going to run myself. Now, how many times on this radio program do we talk about a problem? And we have people calling up, Todd, I'm just a little person, and it's just me. What can I do? You know what? You can run for office. You can do what Ed Durr did. This guy never run for office before. He doesn't have a lot of money in the bank. He lives paycheck to paycheck, just like many of the folks listening to this radio program. He's not famous. He doesn't have any Hollywood celebrities. He doesn't have a super PAC. All he had was a bunch of Dunkin' Donuts. He had a couple of $100 to spend. He had a cell phone to do his video. He had his family, his kids and his grandkids. And he had a crusade. He wanted a concealed carry permit. So he didn't run for fame or fortune, ladies and gentlemen. Ed Durr ran to right a wrong. This truck driver for Raymore and Flanagan in New Jersey. So with all due respect to Mr. Nichols, who is due no respect, Ed Durr is the exact kind of candidate that you want in office. Somebody who wants to right wrongs. Somebody who wants to defend and uphold the Constitution of these United States. Ed Durr is just a good, decent guy. Just like Winsome Sears, who has a phenomenal story. She, you know, just like Ed, she's living her American dream. And Kayla Park wrote a terrific column about this, and we're going to talk about it later on in today's show. But when I see stories about Ed Durr and Winsome Sears, they're calling her a white black person. What does that even mean? No, she's a black woman. You were talking about a white black person. Okay, is that Barack Obama? His mother was white. His father was white. I don't know. But they mean that as a slur. They want to say that Winsome Sears is a racist, even though she is black, because she's a Republican. That's sad. You know what she did? You know what Winsome Sears did? She served our country in the military, in the United States Marines. She put her life on the line for all of us. We've got our good friend Joe from LJ on the Newsmaker line. We're going to get to Joe in just a second. But you know what? Winsome Sears, this woman who came here from Jamaica to join the United States Marines, she didn't have to do that. She did that voluntarily. She did that because she felt a calling. When Winsome Sears wore the uniform of this nation, she was defending people like Joe from LJ. She was defending people like Joy Reid. A woman who, quite frankly, may in fact be a literal racist, but I don't know her heart. I do know she is a bigot and she is a coward, but I don't know if she's a racist. Kind of smells like one, though. But I think about Ed Durr and Winsome Sears, and then I saw a story this morning. And folks, I got to tell you, when I heard this story, I knew this is how we were going to start today's show. I don't think anybody else in talk radio is going to be mentioning this, and I hope they do, but probably not, because it's not one of those. You normally wouldn't start a show out like this, but I got to tell you, I love our country, and you know, I have hope in America. I hope that comes across, even though there are days when I get aggravated and frustrated. There is still hope there. There's a story, and I'm going to play some audio here about a school teacher. Her name is Carol Mack. Greenfield, Wisconsin. And you better get your hankies out, because this is a tearjerker. She is dealing with stage 4 cancer, and she is a grade school teacher. And you know, they tell folks that you can't have God in school anymore, right? You can't be doing that. But you know what? You can't take God out of the heart of the little boys and girls. You just can't do that. Not even a public school. A communist public school can do that. So Carol Mack is at St. Luke's Medical Center right there in Milwaukee. And it was a beautiful thing, because her students, the boys and girls, grades 1 through 4, decided, the moms and dads got them together, and they all went down to this little hospital, this little medical center. And I want you to think about this story when you think about all those people saying how horrible America is, how unexceptional our nation is. I want you to think about what the boys and girls did to Carol Mack.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Carol Mack has taught first and second grade at Christ Lutheran School in Big Bend for 45 years. She recently entered hospice care at Aurora St. Luke's. That's where students from her school lined up to serenade her and wish her well.
It's heartwarming to hear those voices.
That's what America is, right there, ladies and gentlemen. Those little boys and girls Patriots All singing Jesus Loves Me, public school children singing Jesus Loves Me to their school teacher who is about to pass away. That's what America is about. America is about people like Ed Durr, a truck driver from New Jersey. America is about people like Winsome Sears from Virginia. That's what America is about. America is about people like you who listen to this program every single day. So anyway, look, I just feel good about this country. I feel great about what's happening in this country. And we're going to keep highlighting these stories because you need to be reminded that you live, ladies and gentlemen, in the most exceptional nation on the earth. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
All right, folks, a little Dave Matthews Band to get you going on this Friday afternoon. Hope you're getting ready for a great weekend. Hey, I want to give you an update out of New Jersey, where Jack Cetarelli, who is the Republican running up for governor against Phil Murphy, the incumbent, is not conceding the race, and nor should he. We understand the RNC has already dispatched a team of lawyers. They should have done that before. I mean, that should have happened on Election Day. Again, let's hope they get to the bottom of all of this. We're talking about single digits now that separate the two candidates. And here's my concern. There are documented cases of some voter shenanigans going on there. For one, let me give you an example. I believe this was in Bergen County, where 100% of the vote came in and Cetarelli was the winner. But then suddenly, after 100% of the vote came in, more votes came in and Murphy, Phil Murphy, was the winner. That doesn't smell right to me. The New York Post reporting that a mistake by a poll worker led to machines in 56 voting districts to be turned off before the ballots were tallied. That is the state's second most populated county. Passaic County had similar voting issues in five districts. And here's the great irony here, folks, or the coincidence, if you will. All of these counties are heavily Democrat counties that lean towards Murphy. Something's not right there. Something is not right. Project Veritas had some undercover video, and we have that up on our website over at toddstarnes.com. Project Veritas has video of an undercover journalist posing as a non-citizen, non-registered voter, and they were allowed to fill out a ballot. Now, the New Jersey Election Commission is saying, well, that's okay, that's permissible, because ultimately that vote would have been rooted out. Really? How do we know that? How do we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? How is it that somebody can go up and just say, I'm here to vote, I'm not registered, I'm not even a citizen of America? And by the way, Phil Murphy, what was it, the week before the election, was caught on video, his staff caught on video, saying they plan to provide financial aid to illegals who came into the country and now live in New Jersey if he was reelected. So is it possible that illegals helped sway and help move the needle to put Phil Murphy over the top in New Jersey? Could be. But they need to get to the bottom of that. And we cannot allow voter fraud to go unanswered. We just can't do that. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, we've got a big story coming up about Biden forcing all of you business owners to get your workers vaccinated. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want, but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Want to welcome all of our great friends listening to us down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Pascagoula. That's where the squirrel went berserk, and it's where we have a great radio affiliate. Tomorrow, we'll be doing a big biscuit book signing, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. We're going to be out at Nelson Sporting Goods. There in Pascagoula, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we want to see all of you folks out there down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I know there's a big football game tomorrow, Ole Miss and Liberty University, but we're going to do this tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock. Again, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll give you some more information a little bit later on in the program, but come on down to Nelson's tomorrow, 10 o'clock, for the book signing. All right, we've got a big breaking news story to share with you. Yesterday, we told you on the program that President Biden was moving forward with plans to force private businesses, including national religious ministries, to force employees to vaccinate or else face fines of upwards of $14,000. Well, we have some good news. There's a lot of pushback. Our good friends over at First Liberty Institute have announced a legal challenge to this national vaccine mandate. They are representing Daystar Television Network, our good friends at American Family Association, as well as Answers in Genesis. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from First Liberty Institute, attorney Justin Butterfield. Justin, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm surprised here, Justin, because I didn't realize this ruling was also going to impact religious organizations.
You know, it's unfortunate, but it does. OSHA applies to all organizations, even religious organizations. And so, unfortunately, even though the government doesn't have the authority to force religious organizations to violate their religious beliefs, the Biden administration is trying to use OSHA to turn this into a workplace issue and force religious organizations to violate their convictions that way. They're trying to end run around the First Amendment, and we're not going to let them do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, you know, so let me just throw this out there as a hypothetical. Let's say you've got a church, and your church may be a mega church. I go to Bellevue Baptist Church, and I'm sure they have over 100 workers. Would a church also come under fire?
Even a church could come under fire under this rule. It's as ridiculous as that sounds.
That's insane. Who in the White House thinks that they do have the constitutional right to tell a church or a religious ministry how they can run their ministry?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's sad that the Biden administration is trying to do what, you know, they've already admitted that they don't have the authority as the federal government to force a vaccine mandate. And we know that the federal government doesn't have the authority to regulate what churches, what religious organizations do. But they've decided to just corrupt the the use of OSHA and try to get around all of the constitutional protections that we have and force churches, force religious organizations to really, you know, become the vaccine police for the federal government. It's just wrong.
Well, on the Patriot Newsmaker line, our good friend from First Liberty Institute, Justin Butterfield. Justin, what sort of, you know, when you're arguing this case, what will be the argument, the legal argument here?
So the OSHA has never been given authority to impose a mandatory vaccine requirement. Like the fundamental idea of this OSHA emergency temporary standard is just wrong. But also, the way they're using it against religious organizations that do not want to violate the rights of conscience of their employees is also illegal. So, you know, many people of faith have objections to vaccines for many different reasons. And, you know, we've been representing a lot of people at First Liberty who object to the COVID vaccines in particular because they're concerned about, you know, that some of these vaccines were developed or tested using aborted fetal cells. And for people who have a strong stance against abortion, taking something that was developed with or tested on the products of abortion is a real concern for a lot of people. But there are also people that just have general objections to using vaccines at all. You know, Christian Scientists believe diseases must be healed through prayer. Many Amish people oppose the use of medical treatments that have arisen from certain advances in modern technology. And many people of faith object to some of the animal products that are used in the development of this. You know, if pig matter is used in the development of the vaccine, even if it's removed prior to the final vaccine's delivery, a lot of people have religious objections to that. And so at First Liberty, we want to ensure that religious organizations are not put in the place of trying to compel their employees to violate their deepest religious convictions by getting this vaccine against their will.
It's just, again, it just baffles the mind here that the administration would dare even cross that sacred line in the Constitution and interfere with the workings, the ministries of churches. But Justin, from a very practical standpoint, and I talked about this yesterday on this program, if in fact this really is about public health and safety, then they would have implemented this immediately. They would not have waited until January the 4th. So it seems to me they're doing this to accommodate the big box stores for the holidays, and then they're going to drop the hammer.
Yeah, I think that's very likely what they were thinking in delaying this until January. And, you know, there has been the vaccine for quite a while now. I think another illustration that it's just not as big of a deal as they're trying to make it is, if it were such an emergency, why have they waited so long to do it in the first place? So they've taken a long time to do it, and now that they've issued it, they've said, well, we're not going to even enforce this for quite a while longer. But it's this huge crisis that we have to act now, and force religious organizations to violate their religious beliefs. And it's just farcical.
And the other concern is, what happens if, in fact, somebody does get the vaccine, and then, unfortunately, something tragic happens, and we've seen this, where people have suffered severe side effects and in some cases have just dropped dead.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is not covered by the ETS. So if you die from receiving a vaccine, well, that's not as important to them, I guess.
Wow. All right. So, Justin, it's important to let people know that you guys represent these folks pro bono, and therefore, you know, it's really incumbent upon our audience to lend a helping hand. Where can folks go if they want to get more information about First Liberty and maybe make a donation to the legal fund?
Sure. Go to firstliberty.org, and first is written out, FIRST. firstliberty.org. You can follow our cases. You can see how the challenge against this OSHA vaccine mandate progresses, and you can help support us there.
All right. Well, Justin, good job. Keep us updated on this. A very important case, and we're going to be following it very closely. We work very closely with American Family Association, among others, and they're good people, and they don't deserve this. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right. Again, Justin Butterfield on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from First Liberty Institute. They have filed legal papers. They are defending American Family Association, Answers in Genesis, and Daystar Television Network, a petition with the U.S. Court of Appeals to review this mandatory vaccine policy. And again, the shocking thing here is it will impact your church. So if your church has more than 100 employees, your church, your congregation could face $14,000 in fines for every violation. Will you comply? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Georgia. Bill, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Well, I was so glad to hear the last guy you had on there, and I wrote down their website and everything, because I'm definitely going to try to send some money their way. Because he was, y'all were hitting right on what I'm calling about, which is trying to force private companies of any size, whatever, 100 or less or more, to compel vaccines for their workers. And then, as you just said, if somebody dies, if somebody gets ill, first of all, they're going to have to go through this hassle of saying, well, it really wasn't from the vaccine. And then there's going to be that never ending debate in court. And then even if it is said that the vaccine did the harm, then the companies have to pay, come up with the money, not the Biden administration, not the manufacturers of the vaccine. That cannot possibly be allowed to stand.
No, it can't. And that's what gets me, is that they know that people are suffering severe side effects. They know that people are dying. They don't want to talk about it. The mainstream media will not report that story accurately. And then when something happens, they just shrug their shoulders and say, hey, that's on you. But, you know, again, the issue facing a lot of people, Bill, you're either going to get the vaccine or you're not allowed to have a job. I mean, come on.
Yep. It's just plain evil.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call, and thank you for listening. And I know First Liberty will appreciate that great donation. We're going to take a break here, folks. Joe from LJ, Carlotta from Rhode Island. We've got a few lines open. 8-4.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. If you are a business owner, will you comply with this? And if you are an employee, will you comply? This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I feel cold, cold, cold. Song by Dr. John there. Good to have you with us here, folks. Hey, let's get to the phones. A lot of you folks want to weigh in today. We're going to go to Collierville, Tennessee, radio station KWAM, our flagship station. Frank, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. She works for a government agency as a translator. And they have enough employees that the mandates have applied to them. She is now being told that she has to get the vaccine or be fired. She works entirely from home.
Is that right? So wait, she works
indeed.
From home, and they're going to
from home. Yeah, her entire job is remote. She's been doing it for several years.
Did they give her an explanation? I mean, she explained to them. I have to imagine that. Hey, I'm actually just working from my house.
She showed me what they wrote to her, and it simply said all of our employees are having to get the vaccine, including those who work remotely.
Well, I'll be.
And that's all. That was it.
So what happened? I mean, what has your friend decided to do?
She's looking for other jobs at the moment. You know, she's basically got a few weeks or she's fired. So She's accepting being fired. She won't get the vaccine. She's done a lot of research about it. I respect her decision. And it's kind of crazy.
Now,
so I thought with all of what you're just talking about, this fits right in because it.
Now, a couple of things here, Frank.
Not passing. Yeah.
Now, a couple of things. First of all, is your friend here in West Tennessee?
She is not in Tennessee. She's in Colorado.
In Colorado. Okay. Who does she have a Republican representative in Congress for her district, I wonder?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to...
In the Denver area.
They're either liberal or high on marijuana smoke.
Or both.
Yes, that is correct. Very good. Here's what I recommend. First of all, I think she's right. She needs to be fired so she'll have some sort of legal standing. I would recommend her reaching out to, or maybe even you could reach out to Congressman David Kustoff's office. There are lawmakers moving forward with legislation that would protect government workers. And quite frankly, she also might want to reach out to First Liberty Institute, and they might be able to lend a helping hand as well.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate
sure.
it. I will pass that on to her.
Please do. And tell her, do not resign. She needs to have a legal standing here, and she won't if she resigns the job. So I think that's just imperative. And, Frank, I want you to give us a call back. Let us know how things work out, and if we can be of any help, you just let us know.
Thanks. I sure appreciate it. I'll let her know that, too. She'll feel better.
Wonderful. And thanks for listening to KWAM. We appreciate that. We love all of our listeners there in the Memphis area.
Have a great day, Todd, and everybody.
All right. Frank from Collierville. That's a great town, right down the street from Germantown, where I live. Let's go to Ellijay, Georgia. Our good friend, Joe from Ellijay. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Todd, I've never been so fired up in my life, and your great show has helped do it, but golly bum, Glenn Youngkin winning in Virginia. I've got a lot of relatives in Virginia who listen to your show, and they worked extremely hard for Glenn Youngkin to be elected governor, and I want to predict on your great national show that I think someday the great Glenn Youngkin will be elected president of the United States. Steve Moore really likes him. David Perdue, my relatives in Virginia are crazy about him. He's a great, has a business background like David Perdue and Donald Trump, very successful, good Christian man. I am so fired up about the future of the country with what happened in Tuesday's election. Todd, and your great show is broadcasting the great words across America, and I'm just so fired up, energized. I don't have the Steve Moore called me yesterday. He's on Fox News just about every day, and he's so fired up over Youngkin. I'm fired up, and I just want to predict on your great show that Glenn Youngkin in the near future will be elected president of the United States of America, and he will be. And by the way, you got Marjorie Greene coming on. I think Marjorie is the best taxpayer and small business champion in America. Todd, boy, I'm so fired up, and you were great on Newsmax last night. I watch that all the time.
Well, we had a lot of fun there.
I'm so excited. I am so fired up, and thank you for all you do. You're great, and my friends in Virginia, my relatives love you up there. And you helped elect your show helped elect Glenn Young.
Joe, I don't know what you're drinking, but I want to make it a double. You're fired. You got some energy today, my friend.
Well, boy, I'm fired up. Todd, you're so, and Grace is a great screener. I tell you, I'm so fired up today.
What about Kyle? He's
a
good guy too.
Because I've been so excited.
We like Kyle. It's, all right, Joe. Always good hearing from you. You make our day, and you put a smile on our face. So,
thank you, Todd. Right. Love your show.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. You know, Grace. I think he likes the show. I just
maybe
saying.
A little bit. I don't know.
We need to put
maybe
him in charge.
His top 10 or
we need
something.
We need to put him in charge of public relations.
Do we
marketing.
Have some ads with Joe?
We've got to.
Doing it?
We've
That'd
got to. We're going to have to hold on Miss Carlotta because we want to talk to her, but we're going to be running out of time here momentarily. But I do want to remind all of our listeners, WPMO, that is the great radio station, our affiliate in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And we're going to be down there tomorrow for the big book signing at Nelson's Sporting Goods. You guys know where Nelson's is. We're going to be there for 10 o'clock, I think, is when we start. I wonder if I'm, Grace, I don't know if this is like a Bass Pro Shop style thing or if it's like they, I don't know what they have, but they say it's pretty awesome.
I'm sure it is. Just, wear your fishing hat.
Oh, I'm going to bring a hat. So I'm bringing a hat. We're bringing the books. And we're going to be out there all morning doing, I'm literally driving down and then driving right back up.
Road trip.
It is from Memphis. It is a straight shot.
There you go.
There you go. And I'm going to stop off in this town called Laurel, Mississippi. They do one of the Fixer Upper shows there.
I have heard of them.
I got to go check it out, see what that's all about. Oh, I just got a message from Noah Britt, who owns WPMO. He says they got a little bit of everything over at the... Maybe they'll set me up next to the, I don't know, the minnows or something for fishing. Yeah, I don't know. Could be fun. So I hope they got barbecue down there. Got to take a break here, folks. So we will be back. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Miss Carlotta from Rhode Island, and a whole lot more fun coming your way. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, patriots. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving deplorables hanging out with us today. We've got a lot going on. Want to say a very special hello to all of our good friends over in Salem, Oregon today. KYKN is the affiliate that broadcasts this radio program, and our great friends over at WLOB in Portland, Maine. So we really are border to border. Just had a great conversation yesterday with my good friend Ray Richardson, who is the morning show host over at WLOB. They call it the Big Lobster there in that great part of the country. Also want to say hello to all of our great friends along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Now, that's God's country. We call that area the Redneck Riviera. It is the most beautiful beaches in all of the world. And I will say this. We used to vacation down in Biloxi, Panama City, Pensacola when I was a kid growing up, and just beautiful sandy white beaches. I went over to California, and they said, oh, no, the California beaches. I wasn't all that impressed. Hawaii, it was all right. But the Mississippi Gulf Coast, now that is the place. We're going to be down there tomorrow. WPMO is our great affiliate. Noah Britt, the owner of that awesome radio station. And we're going to be doing a book signing at Nelson Outdoors. And we would love for you to come down and get a book and then do some shopping. I've already got a list of things for people on staff, so I'll be doing some shopping there. I want to say hello to David Nelson. I understand the folks down there at Nelson Outdoors are listening to us right now. Good American patriots, one and all. And we're going to be down there tomorrow, 10 o'clock. So be sure to join us for the book signing, our daily biscuit devotions with a draw. It starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and I will be there, and I can't wait to shake your hand. Look, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Always an honor to have our friend, a fierce warrior for freedom, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is also a huge fan of the Atlanta Braves. And congratulations on that big World Series win, Marjorie.
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much. We're really excited in Georgia. We are thrilled that the Braves won the World Series.
Well, Marjorie, it was, and if nothing else, it was a great big thumb in the eye to all of those, the woke cancel culture mob out there. And what a great joy it was to see President Trump, who I was with Monday. And he was asking me, he says, did you see me? Did you see me do the tomahawk chop? And I'm like, oh, we saw you, Mr. President. He was in rare form.
Yeah, no, it's at an Atlanta Braves game. We're always doing the tomahawk chop, and it's just one of those fun traditions. But, you know, here we're here in Washington, D.C., still in session in Congress, where right now, Todd, I don't know if you've seen it, but the longest vote in I think it's history, the longest vote in history for the House of Representatives is going on right now, and it's a motion to adjourn. That Congressman Andy Biggs called for earlier this morning. And Nancy Pelosi is holding the vote open just to try to stop Republicans from doing anything else. And, you know, while they're trying everything they can, the Democrats are trying to get their votes together to vote on the disastrous infrastructure that's not infrastructure and the reconciliation budget that is nothing but the Green New Deal and pure full passage. So we're all waiting around to see what's going to happen. But what I've heard so far is they don't have the vote.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing as well, Marjorie. And we understand that there are even some Democrats on the House side who are troubled by all of this. And not to mention, you know, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema there in the U.S. Senate.
Yes. Yeah, they don't have it together. But I'll tell you something else that's going on. Last night,
yes,
I made it. And I went in.
Marjorie, let me stop you for a moment because I do want to pivot to that.
Okay.
You went to the jail, and we have been very troubled by the reports coming out, leaking out slowly about what really happened on 1/6. And we've been very clear on this radio program that we don't have the full story. And Tucker Carlson's special series he's been doing has been jaw-dropping, the information coming out. But you went to the jail in D.C. last night, and I want you to tell our listeners what you saw.
Yes, thank you so much, Todd. I've been trying for months, along with a few of my colleagues. We have been trying to get information from the Department of Justice, the FBI, and I've tried for months to get in that jail so that I could visit the jail, tour the entire jail. I've been asking for a tour of the entire jail, not just where the J6 defendants are being held, and no one would let me in. And so Wednesday, I went with, and I brought Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, was the only one that came with me this week, and we went to the jail and demanded to be let in. See, as members of Congress, we have oversight and jurisdiction over the District of Columbia, and so they cannot deny us access. And the deputy warden, she refused to let us in again. She has consistently refused to let us in. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you get fired from your job. And so then I wrote a letter to the mayor in the afternoon on Wednesday, and we hand-delivered that letter. I went to the mayor's office, and Congressman Gohmert went with me again, and we delivered the mayor this letter, letting her know that we have oversight and jurisdiction over the District of Columbia. Someone needs to let us in. So Wednesday night, we got a phone call that was less than 15 minutes notice so that we could go tour the jail. And I was walking off the House floor, literally after voting on like 12 different bills. And we rushed over, my staff and I got to the jail and was let in along with the City Council of Washington, D.C. And we were taken on a tour, and we were shown certain areas of the jail. And then they were taking us out to leave, and they had not shown us the January 6th area, the Patriot wing of the jail. And it was then that I demanded, and I had to demand it, and I let them know that I was not going to leave until they took us to that area. And it's a good thing they changed their mind. They immediately made phone calls and said they got permission. So they took me in there, and Congressman Gohmert and I and our staff. And Todd, I just want to tell you, when I walked in there, it was like walking in to see prisoners of war. And these men came flooding out, running down the stairs to the common area in the area they're being held in, clapping, cheering, crying. And they were just overwhelmed. It was like looking in the eyes of men that had lost hope and felt like everyone had forgotten about them. And it's almost hard to find words. And these men are charged. And, you know, I'm one of those, I've said all along, Todd, I did not like the riot on January 6th. And I told them that there, I said, I didn't like what happened that day, but they've all been charged and they're waiting trial, but they're being abused and being held, in a jail that is absolutely disgusting. And this jail should be shut down. The U.S. Marshals went and toured it, I think it's been over a week ago, and they're writing a report, but their statement they released is clear indication it should be shut down. And we've been told that when the marshals came and toured and went to go inspect the jail, that they were taken to the general population area first, and we were told that that the employees of the jail cleaned up the rest of the other areas. And in the separate facility where the January 6th defendants are. so that it didn't look as bad as it was. But the conditions are horrible. They're malnourished. There's human waste overflowing. The toilet, one man's toilet doesn't work in his cell. He can't even use his toilet. They're not allowed to get haircuts, and they're not allowed to shave unless they're vaccinated. They're being refused religious services. One man told me he's not allowed to have communion unless he gets vaccinated. They desperately need medical conditions. Some of them have serious issues going on. There's an elderly man in there, one of the January 6th defendants that has something very wrong with his circulatory system. His hand is completely purple and his thumb is turning black. It looks like he could possibly lose his hand if he doesn't receive medical treatment. And the rest of the men in there are begging for him to get medical treatment.
Now, let me jump in. Hold on just a second. Marjorie, there's just so much coming at us here. And I want to back up for just a second. I've got a couple of questions. Do you have any indication of how many men are being held as a result of the January 6th riot?
It looks like to be somewhere in the area of around 40 men is who we saw last night.
40
in this
men.
Jail. Yeah, but there's more. There's also men and women being held in other jails pre-trial. They're being held pre-trial for months and months, some of them since January, and they're being held in other jails across the United States.
So you're telling you're telling me, I mean, we're talking 10 months. I mean, we're past that. I mean, we're talking 10 months. And
I spoke with men since they've been there since January. I personally talked to them and saw them last night and spoke to them.
And yet Antifa and Black Lives Matter literally burning down cities and attacking federal facilities, burning down those facilities. None of those people are being held. But these folks have been in jail, many of them for as much as 10 months.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
None of them are being held. And then also, guess what, Todd? There is no subcommittee here in Congress investigating members of Congress who funded their bail, these Antifa BLM rioters, like Ilhan Omar and Kamala Harris.
Or the vice president, yes, Kamala Harris.
Exactly, with the Minnesota Freedom Fund. So, no, there's no witch hunt committee going on in Congress looking into those things. And the Department of Justice and the FBI is not hunting down Antifa and BLM activists all over the country like they are people that went to the Capitol on January 6th. So there is a two-tier justice system in America, and we're at what seems to be some kind of political warfare, and it needs to end, and it needs to end right now.
I'm curious. I get the Democrats here. I'm kind of concerned that only one other Republican lawmaker went with you. Are you getting any support, any other Republicans concerned?
There have been other Republicans concerned. Matt Gaetz had gone with us before. Paul Gosar had gone with us before. Andy Biggs and Bob Good went with us on one other occasion. Some Republican members of Congress are not here this week. Some of them are voting by proxy, which is unfortunate, I think. But I think Paul Gosar's mother had passed, and so he's having to tend to those very important family issues. But the rest of everybody should be here. This is an important week as we're, again, facing the infrastructure vote and the reconciliation budget. And, you know, and when there are people languishing, rotting away in a jail just because the Democrats have decided that they hate anyone that supports President Trump, it's beyond me, Todd. I think we should be doing everything we can to stop it and end it, and I will continue to do so, and I will urge my colleagues to continue.
Yeah, this is unacceptable.
Go with me.
It's just unacceptable. This should not be happening on American soil. Look, I don't know who's guilty of what, but everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and we're talking about people who should not. Honestly, from what I have seen, I have not seen any behavior that warrants somebody being held for pre-trial for 10 months. I don't see that.
No, and they were held in solitary confinement. They told me several of the men I talked to said they were held for 4 months in 23-1. That's 23 hours a day in their cell. And then they're only allowed out for 1 hour. And that was for 4 months.
Wow.
And then another 2 months was 22 hours a day, and they were only allowed out for 2 hours a day. And sometimes they said they never got out of their jail cell for over 24 hours. And so the abuse has been horrible. But Todd, I'm not going to stop there. The rest of the jail is horrific. The conditions are god awful, and something needs to be done about that jail here in Washington, D.C. Now there were some of the staff there that took us on the tour that I could tell the inmates, some of them really liked this one lady and several of the others. So there seems to be people that are caring and compassionate there, but it's the management of this jail that have failed, and they should be held accountable for.
Yes, they should.
That's happening there, not just the January 6th defendants, but the rest of the people being held in that jail as well.
All right, Marjorie, we're going to have to leave it there. We are up against a mandatory break here, and I appreciate all the great information. We're going to be following developments up on Capitol Hill, but thank you. This is just staggering information, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to be just as enraged. Thank you for shining a bright light on this problem. Marjorie, God bless.
Thank you. Thanks, Todd.
All right, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, folks, this is just stunning. Some of the stories coming out here where she says one of the vaccinated inmates was denied communion and denied communion because he did not get the vaccine, among others. We'll talk about this. Your reaction: should these people still be in jail from January 6th, or should they be out awaiting trial? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. You folks know now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And that's why we love our friends over at Patriot Mobile. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. I love it. They do a great job for me. They not only share our beliefs, but they do something about it by donating money to organizations that fight for causes that we care about. And we're talking about pro-life groups. We're talking about religious liberty organizations and Second Amendment groups. And if you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use the promo code Todd, you're going to get free activation and an incredible gift. By the way, Patriot Mobile, they have a plan to fit any budget. So it doesn't matter what that budget is, they're going to make it work. And they have incredible discounts, like additional discounts if you're a first responder or if you are a military veteran. And it's super easy to switch here. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can just give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And they're more than happy. They have a great people there. They're not real pushy. You know what I mean? I mean, you go to the AT&T store or whatever, and they're trying to sell you, an arm and a leg. They're not that way. They're really very, very helpful, and they're going to answer all of your questions. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Real quick, let's go to the phones. Rhode Island, Miss Carlotta on the phone. Hey, Miss Carlotta, what's going on?
I was telling Grace, she's probably too young, and you may not be, but do you remember when Hillary Clinton came out with her book, It Takes a Village?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, it sounded, so kindly and whatever, but this is the end of what happens when it takes a village. The village winds up taking your child.
Well, that's a fair... You know what, Carlotta? That is a brilliant analysis, because Hillary Clinton wrote the book back in the day, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And now they're ripping that child out of the village and sticking the child in the public school for indoctrination. I think that is a brilliant observation. Carlotta, we got to run here. God bless you. Have a great weekend there in Rhode Island. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll be right back, folks. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A bit of news from foreignpolicy.com. And we're getting a very clear understanding of what was really going on in Afghanistan and how many Americans were left behind. Now, the Biden administration said around 100 or so Americans were still left behind in Afghanistan. However, foreign policy, quoting unnamed sources in the State Department, say the State Department believes there are as many as 14,000 legal permanent American citizens remaining in Afghanistan. This is an impeachable offense right here. First of all, Jen Psaki went out and lied to the White House press corps. Now, will she be called out on that? Probably not. But according to foreignpolicy.com and their sources, as many as 14,000 U.S. citizens remain in Afghanistan behind enemy lines. The finding, disclosed by a congressional aide familiar with the matter, has been transmitted by the State Department to aides on Capitol Hill in private, but officials demurred on revealing the figures when questioned by Republican lawmakers on Wednesday. Republican Chris Smith asked the Deputy Secretary of State, isn't the operating assumption about 14,000? And the Deputy Secretary of State said, we don't track legal permanent records. It's a residence, rather. It's a good question why we don't. He said the lack of clarity might be because the State Department does not require Americans and legal permanent residents to report their whereabouts. But regardless, it's not a good sign. And leaving American citizens behind enemy lines, that should be an impeachable offense. But we'll see if anybody up in Washington, D.C. wants to actually take that allegation seriously. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us the man from Getter, the man who gave us Getter, Jason Miller. Jason, good to have you back with us today.
Todd Howard, my man. Great to be back with you.
Well, fantastic. And I got to tell you, Jason, still a lot of very happy people around the nation with what happened on Tuesday into Wednesday. Citarelli, the Democrat or the Republican in New Jersey, still not conceding that race. So it could get even better for Republicans.
Well, I think so. And boy, I tell you, you know, as you kind of step back and look at this, the frustrating thing is just if a little bit more money, if a little bit more time had been put in New Jersey, could we have gotten that governor's mansion? This is actually the first time in some, 44 years, I believe, that a Democrat has won re-election to the governor's mansion. So New Jersey seems to, for such a blue state, has a pretty thorough independent streak when it comes to the governor's mansion. But here is the – I don't even want to use silver lining. That's the wrong analogy. But I do think that the – you know, I do think an important point that we should be paying attention to is this is a signal to all of us that 2022 is going to be a massive year. If you have ever thought about running for office, for dog catcher, for Congress, for Senate – for anything that's out there, this is where we want to have a Republican and a conservative Republican at that on the ballot for every position. I cannot say how critical this is. You could have districts that are D plus 10 that we could wake up next November and all of a sudden have a Republican win.
And again, I think that is the bigger story here is really not necessarily what happened in Virginia, but what happened in New Jersey, where, I mean, this gives you hope. If you live in a predominantly Democrat area controlled by progressives, there's a chance that you can turn this around with the right message.
Well, so that's the genius point. That's the thing I'm glad you really drilled in on. And again, because these are issues that, hold on, wait for it. They're so radical. They're issues such as, support our local police. Do not teach critical race theory to our kids in elementary school. Such basic things that are actually uniting Republicans and Democrats. And you take a look at what happened in Minnesota, where they tried to abolish police, and actually even Democrats pushed back and said, "No, we need to have a police department." Even despite all the drama that we've seen in the Twin Cities over the last year and a half. You take a look in Virginia, for example, where exit polling showed that 94% of Republicans who voted last Tuesday believe that parents should have a big role in their kids' education. 74% of Democrats believe that parents should have a critical role in their kids' education. Terry McAuliffe, Turnover Terry, as I like to call him because he made so many mistakes, he didn't think that was the case. And so when we talk about parents being involved in their kids' education, we talk about public safety, talk about this overall government overreach with the forced mandates. Everything is a forced mandate now, whether it's work, whether it's your health care, everything's mandates. People are sick and tired of it.
Yeah, great story out of New Jersey. And there were so many great stories. You know, it's hard to get to all of them. This is from a 19-year-old kid. Egg Harbor Township, which is down in Atlantic County, New Jersey, Nicholas Seppi, he was disgusted because they ruined his senior year because of the China virus shutdowns. So what did he do? He ran for school board, and he beat the incumbent by 18 percentage points with this idea, Jason. I mean, the kid looks like a younger version of President Trump. He's got the dark suit, the red tie, and he's got that Trump swagger. And he crushed this guy. And the whole point was, he said, hey, look, we parents need to have a say in their kids' education. And so that's a message that will work in Virginia and New Jersey and all over America.
Exactly. Another thing, too, is you think for the Democrats, is there anything they can change, anything they can do differently? And the answer is really no, because they have this multiple personality disorder that they're dealing with, where they can't figure out, are they going to kowtow to the radical left, where they let the Bernies and Elizabeth Warrens and the AOCs, as we're seeing the drama play out on Capitol Hill, are they the ones who are going to hold the party hostage, or are the more radical centrists, the Joe Manchins, the Kyrsten Sinemas, are they going to hold the party hostage? Joe Biden, as we know, in the middle, he's just getting pulled every which way like a Gumby. And he, of course, has the spine with about the same fortitude as Gumby. And so President Gumby, when he's not falling asleep in meetings, he has no leadership. So Pelosi's not going to step forward. Crying Chuck's not going to step forward. As long as we stay active and stay moving on things, we're going to be successful. And this goes back to part of the reason, Todd, I want to make sure this is clear. The critical point of us having our voice, of us having platforms to be able to communicate, we notice they were not able to, they meaning big tech, were not able to censor or shut us down before this election.
That's true.
We have alternative means for communication. It's part of the reason why we launched Getter. Make sure that you're making your voice heard, whether it's on our platform or on anything else, listening to shows like yours, because as long as we're speaking out and telling the truth, then we're going to win these races.
No, you're right about that. And that's one of the reasons we're very happy with Getter, is that you just have an open forum there, and people are able to get that information. And I think, again, this is, you're right. We're sort of getting other platforms out there. Jason, I want to ask you about President Trump. You know, there are discussions now within the Republicans. You know how these folks are, that there are still Republicans who do not like President Trump. And they say that the Virginia race, the way they're looking at this, their narrative is that this proves that we are a post-Trump party now. I contend that we are still a Trump party, and that's the reason why the Republicans actually won.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And it shows, I think, part of this, really, the media doesn't want to say, well, actually, there's a big case of buyer's remorse. And independents, who we suckered into voting against President Trump, realized that they were sold a BS bill of goods. And now they want to go a different direction. Of course, the MSNBC knuckleheads are not going to go and actually tell the truth on that, which is a big part of the mover, and also acknowledge the fact that we made even better gains, and we continue to make gains with African-American, Latino-American, Asian-American voices who now, because of President Trump, feel comfortable voting for Republicans. And you made the point, we're still a party of Trump. Now Trump voters are starting to show up and vote even when President Trump is not on the ballot. That is so critical, because we have now normalized it and socialized it, and it's a regular thing for these folks to vote for Republicans. This is a good thing, but it's still the party of Trump. As soon as we start acting like the suits on Capitol Hill, as soon as we start talking very much like bureaucrats, we're going to lose them all once again. We have to stay fighting for the working men and women. No one does that better than President Trump.
Well said. Jason Miller on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Getter. Now, Jason, I see the banners. I mean, you guys are all over the place with the marketing campaign here.
As I told you when we first launched this, that I'm going to steal the moniker from my old boss, President Trump, we're going to make social media fun again. And so we started off with our very eloquent Twitter sucks, join Getter banners that were flying over President Trump's rallies and some of the football games. We've now expanded it out with our Let's Go Brandon banners. Let's Go Brandon, join Getter. We usually have out at maybe three or four SEC football games every weekend. We're actually expanding out a little bit this weekend. We'll have the banners out. In addition to a couple places in the SEC, we'll be up at the University of Cincinnati game. Is their ranked number two, although they're currently getting hosed in the way the bowl picture or the playoff picture rolls out. But undefeated Bearcat team will be up there, be down to the Miami Hurricanes. We'll be at the Alabama game. So we've got some really exciting places, and as well as the NFL. I know the Dolphins and the Jaguars aren't having that great of seasons, but we'll also be at the Cincinnati Bengals there, actually having a really good season with Joe Burrow behind center. So it's we're out and about. We had them out in front of the World Series game in Atlanta earlier this week. So let's go, Brandon, and let's celebrate everything that everything about the Brandon administration is Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, well, yes, well said. All right, Jason, we're going to leave it there. Always good having you on the program. Congratulations on the great success.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Great to see you on Getter.
All right, Jason Miller, ladies and gentlemen, and we are on Getter at Todd Starnes. Look for us. We're the red checkmark guy, and Caleb Park over there as well. And we would love to see you on Getter. It's a great platform, and they don't censor folks, and I really appreciate that. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Let me give you an update on what's happening up on Capitol Hill for you folks. So this is falling apart. You've got moderate Democrats fighting progressives. So the Democrats are in great disarray right now. Pelosi, they're saying that the Congressional Budget Office is not even going to be able to score the reconciliation bill until maybe Thanksgiving. And then Pelosi saying, well, we don't need that. Let's just go ahead and vote now. And even the moderates are saying, yeah, we're not going to do that. So it doesn't look good right now. We're going to keep an eye on this because a lot of times in the dark of night, and you know how this goes, the Democrats will try to sneak through some of this nonsense. So we're going to keep you updated on those developments. I want to point out something that's going on, and I've noticed this is happening in the Christian world, but it's also happening in the political world. Over, I don't know, the past 20, 30 years, there have been some very conservative, Bible-believing evangelical preachers. And there's been an effort of late by some of these woke, never-Trump preachers to rewrite history. And they want you to believe that some of the most beloved figures in evangelical Christianity were in fact woke. It's all a big lie. But they're trying to redefine who these individuals were. And people, well, I'm not going to name names, but I don't want to get into that argument right now. But they're doing the same thing in politics, and specifically Ronald Reagan, who was a great conservative president. I mean, one of the greatest presidents of all time. So I got a message last night inviting me to attend as a speaker, but as a participant. That what you know, this is just a standard email inviting me to the Reagan Library for the Reagan Foundation's institute, and they do a big it's called a speaking series, and this is called the Time for Choosing Speaker series. This is part of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. All right. So I want to go through the list of invited speakers, and I want to see if you can figure something out here. Because when history looks back at Trump and Reagan, you're going to find two very similar presidencies. But here are the speakers the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute have invited to speak at their Time for Choosing. Governor Chris Christie. Peggy Noonan. Liz Cheney, Governor Larry Hogan, Senator Mitch McConnell, Senator Ben Sasse, Dr. Condoleezza Rice, and Ross Douthat. I always mess up that poor guy's name. He's a New York Times columnist. Senator Joni Ernst. It's like a anti-Trump Lollapalooza. over there at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. What the heck is that all about? But again, it's part of this. There is going to be a movement to try and turn Ronald Reagan into this woke president. So they're trying to do the same thing to George W. Bush, but he was sort of already there. I mean, George Bush, I don't think you could call George Bush a true conservative. I really don't. But we'll see how all that plays out. Something very weird going on over at the Ronald Reagan Foundation. Also, this story, where is that story? AOC and the squad, they say the reason why Democrats lost Virginia is because they were not far left enough. You know what, AOC? Go with that. Let's just go with that. Yes, I think you need to be even more progressive. Not only should we ban cows passing gas, but let's ban the chickens too. Here we go. Here's the story. Oklahoma school teachers fired for refusing to wear masks. This happened again in Oklahoma. Some of the teachers on Facts and Friends this morning. And they say they never thought this would happen in America. Well, it did happen in America. And folks, you better wake up. You got to be prepared. Because one day they will be coming and knocking at your front door. And you've got a decision to make. I mean, to borrow a line from Ronald Reagan, it really is a time for choosing in America. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Look, the newsletter coming out, the Todd Starnes newsletter coming out in about an hour or so now. And if you haven't already signed up for this thing, you really need to. It is a great resource. And, you know, Grace Baker, we were at the big gala last night, and the number of people coming up and saying, hey, you know, we listen to the show. We love the newsletter.
I mean, how could you not? It goes right to your inbox.
Right to your inbox. And it's a lot of information. This is not, you know, a lot of these conservative newsletters are, they're wanting you to buy stuff, and there's a lot of clickbait.
There's hidden motives.
Yeah. And for us, look, it's free. We have sponsors that pay the bills, and we just want you to have this information. So we go through and pick every single story that's in this newsletter.
Exactly.
So we want you to do that. Also, and ToddStarnes.com. Also, all of our listeners, Pascagoula, Gulf Coast, Mississippi, we're going to be doing a big book signing tomorrow, Nelson Outdoors in Pascagoula. We'll be signing copies of the Biscuit book and having a great time. We would love to see all of our friends and listeners along the Gulf Coast hanging out with us. Got to take a break, folks. Don't go anywhere. Mark Meadows coming up. Also, Caleb Park's going to be here. We'll be right back.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, America. Good to have you with us. Hour three, the final hour of the final day of the final week of broadcasting for this program, and we are so honored to have you with us today. Real quick, just I want to remind all of our listeners along the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and Alabama, we're going to be in Pascagoula. Our radio affiliate there, WPMO, is hosting a book signing, and we'll be at Nelson Outdoors tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock, so we would love to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and to look forward to being able to meet and shake hands with so many of our great listeners there in that part of the country. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number, and our website is toddstarnes.com. We have lots of great news and information for you there, and also would encourage you to sign up for our free newsletter and podcast. By the way, the newsletter coming out in just under an hour, so you'll want to be sure to take advantage of that as well. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us a senior partner over at the Conservative Partnership Institute, our good friend and the former White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows. Mark, good to have you back with us today.
Todd, great to be back with you. And obviously, these are interesting times in Washington, D.C., but they're also times for the Patriots to re-engage. So thank you so much for being that voice of truth that continues to resonate across the country.
Well, Mark, also you have a terrific new book out called The Chief's Chief. And, folks, we have a link to Mark's book over on our website in the live show blog. And, Mark, a lot to unravel, a lot going on with the infrastructure bill up on Capitol Hill. But we had some breaking news about these vaccine mandates. Just a little while ago, First Liberty Institute said they were filing in defense of a number of Christian ministries, including American Family Association and the Daystar Television Network. They say, First Liberty says, that this mandatory policy also impacts religious groups and churches with more than 100 workers.
Well, it's First Liberty, obviously, they do great work, but this is a time that we have to really stand together, and so I applaud their effort. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of exemptions out there. We know that the OSHA regulations just came out. Obviously, the Department of Labor's guidelines have come out as well, and so I do believe that we'll prevail in court, especially when you look at the religious exemptions that so many of our religious organizations would hold. But when you look at an organization over 100, it doesn't have to be real large. And yet, that's not who we are as Americans. You know, science and the great innovations that we have are to be applauded. But a mandate in doing away with your freedoms, you know, today it's this, what will it be tomorrow? We've seen the encroachment on our freedoms far too often, Todd, and a lot of times it starts in the churches.
And I think, again, this was a big part of what drove so many people to the ballot box. And when you had Democrats and independents voting for Republicans in not only Virginia, but also New Jersey and in some of these smaller races all over America, I mean, there is a message there that there is a line that the Democrats have crossed. But do you really think the Democrats got that message?
They didn't get the message. No, in fact, if anything, they're doubling down on their more woke kind of policies. You know, even with what they're debating on Capitol Hill right now, you know, they're wanting to do amnesty. They're wanting to do they call them social programs, but it's really more like socialism. And they're talking billions and billions of dollars. And so they didn't get the message. And yet parents, moms and dads, aunts and uncles across the country are really looking at this and saying, we've had enough of big government trying to tell us how to live our lives and what is the priority. You can rest assured, Washington, D.C., all they want is more power. And what Americans on Main Street need to do is stand up. So bravo to the folks at First Liberty and AFA and all of those who are willing to be plaintiffs and attorneys.
Well, I'm with you on that. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Mark Meadows, author of the new book, great best-selling book, The Chief's Chief. Mark, the question now is, where does this go? I mean, we're watching these developments up on Capitol Hill with this massive spending bill. And shockingly, there are some Democrats in the House that are saying, yeah, we're not voting on this thing until we can get it scored. How about that?
Well, I tell you what, I love it when it comes together. I can tell you, I've been on the phone most of the morning. I was on the phone yesterday with some of my old colleagues from Congress literally just saying, you know, is there any rational Democrats left? And hopefully the moderates are holding out, waiting on a score. Sadly, the CBO always has a way of making things look a lot brighter. And the person, you know, the people that pay the price is really the American taxpayer. But it doesn't look like they're going to get the vote today. And they were promising it, had it all queued up, worked through the night to do that. And if they do, it'll be a major breakthrough. for the Democrats, but it looks like it will go on until next week when they're not in session. And so we may have avoided a real bad bill.
Yeah, I think Jake Sherman is reporting that leadership on both sides say that there won't be a CBO score until maybe Thanksgiving week. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But are there moderate Democrats up in Congress in the House?
Well, I mean, moderate's a relative term anymore.
True.
There are nine people that claim to be more moderate Democrats. There's probably three or four that are actually moderate, but not necessarily moderate on some of the issues like life. And, you know, I think they took out the last pro-life Democrat that maybe Henry Cuellar is the only one left on that. So it's a relative term, but there are some that really this is not about moderate or progressive or leftist, as I would properly call them. This is about getting reelected, and they're nervous in these swing districts because of what happened in Virginia. They're very nervous that they'll get voted out of office, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, they're not stupid. I mean, they may be liberal, but they're not stupid.
Well said, Todd. Well said.
You know, there is, and I've been watching this narrative sort of starting to percolate a little bit. People are, you know, the never Trump Republican folks out there saying, well, this is all evidence that Trump is over. We're moving to a post-Trump era in the Republican Party. I don't know, Mark. I was with the president on Monday, and I think that he was very influential in a lot of things that happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, he was. He was not only on the phone doing town halls with tens of thousands of people, but his base turned out over 99% of it. I was with President Trump last night, and we spoke about the behind the scenes. Governor-elect Youngkin has called him and expressed his appreciation. And so, listen, this is Trump plus. This is not Trump light. And what people are in Washington, D.C. would love to pretend like Donald Trump didn't exist and the movement that he created is not alive and well, but they couldn't be more wrong. You know, I talk about that in the Chief and what will come to play in the years and the months ahead. But more importantly, if Washington, D.C. thinks that this is over because of election of Glenn Youngkin, they've misread it, and so they will join the Democrats in misreading the outcome of that election.
So, Mark, you'll appreciate this. I had never really had any one-on-one time. You know, the president's been on the show by phone, and so I'm working on this new book, and he said, well, come on down to Mar-a-Lago, and we were there for about 90 minutes. It was just a great time. But I was trying to – I know he's not answering the question, are you going to run or not? I get that. So I was trying to figure out a way around that question that would – so I said, well, what are some of the things – and he's so quick. I said, so what are – you know, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, what are things you would think about if you were running for, you know, for election again? And he just pivoted. He says, did you see me do the tomahawk chop? Atlanta Braves game.
Yeah, as only Donald Trump can do. He does that real well.
It was brilliant. And then he offered me a Diet Coke in a bottle, and he had me. I'm like, you know, okay. It's
well, that sounds like the ultimate host that he is, but it's also, I can tell you this, that in my conversations with him, he didn't want to make any official statements. You know, it's a little bit far out.
Sure.
There's a lot of implications if he does. But I can tell you this, that he is doing all – last night he gave a speech, and if it was not the prelude to a 2024 run, I don't know what was. And so I would be a strong believer that he's running again.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. He looks great, just so refreshed. And I told him, I said, you know, most of those guys, they age about 20 years coming out of the White House, and he just looks – he actually looks younger than him when he went
does.
In.
He does. He looks younger. He's lost a little weight. He's actually, you know, I talked to him earlier today again, and he said, you know, he says, well, you know, we've just got to keep putting the pressure. Some of this stuff on Durham is now starting finally to unravel, and you know, there's more to come, more dominoes to fall, and when they all fall at the end of the day, Todd, it's going to implicate not only Hillary Clinton, but those that were around her. And it's what we've always known. And finally, the truth's going to come out.
It will. And it'll set us free. All right. Congressman.
It will.
Always good to have you with us. And congratulations on the great new book. It is an incredible read. It's on my bookshelf. And we wish you the very best.
Well, thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. God bless.
All right. Mark Meadows, I called him congressman. He was former congressman, but he was White House chief of staff and just a very accomplished man and has done a lot of good for this country. So Grace told me that a caller heard it. I said it was the final week of the show. It's the final broadcast week. No. We're coming back Monday. No, it's just kind of a play on words. But we didn't mean to overly alarm anyone, but we will be back on Monday. Hey, we got to take a break. We're opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us today. Grace, I've been told that there is no live, there are no minnows. There's no live fishing bait at Nelson Outdoors.
I know you're really wanting to fish while you sign books.
I thought that would have been fun. I mean, we did the book signing years ago, a couple of years back in Moorhead City, North Carolina. What was the name of the place? Sanitary Fish Market. And we were right there on the bay. We had a beautiful, that was one of the prettiest locations to a book signing. It was a lot of fun. So anyway.
I'm not much of a fisher.
All right. Well, you're
an outdoors.
I'm not
gal.
A big fish guy. I'm a shrimp person, and that's about it.
I love shrimp.
So give me some of Uncle Walt's shrimp over at Red Lobster with some of those cheddar biscuits. I'm a happy
Lobster.
Man. I'm telling. You don't like Red Lobster?
It's fine. I mean, the biscuits are great.
But
the rest of it's like, I would rather go somewhere more local.
So, I don't know if you folks remember this, but Grace, back when we were kids, and when I say we, I meant our audience and I were kids, Shoney's was like huge. So it
My
was.
My parents talked about that.
So they used to have Big Boy. So there was like the Shoney's Big Boy, which is basically, I think it was basically a larger version of the Big Mac. Because it had the same...
Big Boy, Big Mac.
Sounds
right.
Yeah. And then you got the Hot Fudge Sundae.
Oh, yeah.
And it was every... I mean, that was the best Hot Fudge Sundae. So you knew when Mom and Dad were in a good mood when they said, we're going to Shoney's.
What happened to Shoney's?
I don't know. It kind of went downhill a little bit.
Seems like it. Because now when I see Shoney's, I'm like, ugh.
It's like Stuckey's.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound good. Yeah.
Back in the day, and some of you folks will remember this, when you went on a road trip... You know, they didn't have, like, the big gas station. They didn't have the Buc-ee's back in the day. They had Stuc-ee's. And it was basically, you know, you get some gas. It was a diner, but they had the pecan log rolls, which would put you, I mean, one bite gives you diabetes.
Ooh.
And that's what they call it down in Mississippi.
They were good?
It's the diabetes.
The diabetes.
They were good. I mean, they're sugary sweet, much like that cake we had last night.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like death by chocolate.
I couldn't even finish it, and I love chocolate.
What? It was almost like a dark chocolate fudge cake.
Yes.
Is what it tasted like.
Emphasis on the fudge part.
I tell you, I immediately had a sugar rush.
It was not bad. It just was a little too rich even for me.
Don't criticize the food from last night, Grace.
No, I'm just, look, it's chocolate. I have a special place in my heart for chocolate.
Oh, for crying out loud. What were we talking? Oh, yeah. So anyway, but, you know, I'm not sure what happened to Shoney's. And maybe our listeners would know. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I think they went downhill with the buffet. You know, because in the day you had. So if you wanted to go get a good, you know, after church on Sunday, you would either go to Shoney's and then along came Applebee's. And then you had Bonanza or you had the Ryan's Steakhouse, where you had like 800 items on the buffet and you could just go and get whatever you wanted. But here in the South, and I don't know, I'm curious to see if other people had the same experience. It was, if you weren't at Grandma's house on Sunday for after church supper, you were at the Piccadilly, which was like the quintessential Southern, like, you know, cafeteria style, you know, food place. And we would always go, I grew up here in Memphis, and we would always go to the Piccadilly at the mall, the Southland Mall in Whitehaven. That's where we would go. And now if you go over there, you'll get shot. And I don't think they have the Piccadilly either, so there's really no reason to.
How the times change.
It's sad. It's really sad. So, yeah, go figure. All right, let's go to the phones here. Dave, North Carolina, on the Talk Station. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I'm pulling into Moorhead right now at the Highway Patrol Station, so I'm about 3 miles from the sanitary. Anyway, you need to stay away from those chain restaurants, Todd. You need to come out here, get some shrimp fresh off the boat, and go to a real North Carolina shrimp boil, and, you know, where they pull the fresh shrimp out here, cook it here that day. It's, you know, you'll never want to go to another restaurant.
Dave, I'll tell you, the shrimp over at the sanitary, very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're on the water. I mean, and a lot of people don't understand that. They think it's close. They're on the inland waterway, one little chunk of dirt away from the ocean. So, but the reason I called is you had Mark Meadows on there, and you were talking about mandates and stuff. And I got to tell you, last night, and I was listening to Jim Bohannon. I'm a big Jim Bohannon fan. But there was a couple comments, and he made the comment on religious liberties.
Dave, can I interrupt? We're coming up on a break, and I want you to finish your thought. Would you mind just holding over, and we can continue the conversation after the break? Is that okay?
Yep, that's fine.
All right, hang tight, Dave. My apologies. We got, you know what it is? We got sidetracked with the shrimp. So hang tight, Dave. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I like Jim Bohannon. Jim. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Sean Spicer's new Radical Nation, blowing the lid off Biden and Harris and their real plan for America. President Trump says it's a must-read book. Newt Gingrich says Radical Nation can stop the far left. And look, Sean Spicer knows about what's happening in Washington, D.C., all the insider secrets. He worked there, so he knows. And he reveals all of those secrets in Radical Nation. By the way, it's a number one Amazon bestseller. It's at bookstores everywhere. Or you can check out the free offer for Radical Nation and save almost $28. All you need to do is go to RadicalNation411.com. That's RadicalNation411.com. And check out that free offer for Sean's book there on the website. And speaking of Newsmax, what an amazing platform, amazing conservative channel, and you're going to be able to find it everywhere, streaming platforms, smart TVs, and, of course, your cable channel. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Dave from North Carolina, we got sidetracked talking about fried shrimp, and he wants to talk about something else. So, Dave, continue your thought.
Yeah, the thing about the mandate for the vaccines came up last night on Jim's show, and he said, and I'm still a Jim Bohannon fan, but I was kind of disappointed when he said that he felt that opposing a mandate for vaccines on religious grounds was like opposing stopping at a stop sign for religious reasons. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's really disappointing. And then another Marine from Maysville called in and said that he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He felt that having anything to do with the vaccine made from aborted embryos was just against, you know, his beliefs. And the response was, well, it doesn't matter because the embryos had already been aborted anyway. And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, wow, that kind of points of view in another opinion. But, you know, not a direction I would go with it. And the other thing, this is probably one of the most important things, is everybody, and this is across the board on talk shows, is people are saying, well, vaccines are one thing, to mandate is another. But here's something that I'm actually going to put myself out on a ledge here. All the information is not only not being reported, the number of adverse reactions, side effects, and everything else, specifically from military hospitals and places like that is not allowed to be reported.
Is that right? What do you know, Dave?
I know that to be true. I know that from speaking to healthcare professionals that the certain people at upper management levels and at command levels, and I'll let it go at that, are told we don't release that information. Now, you know, it's funny how HIPAA plays a role and we don't release that information, but you and I don't have any HIPAA privacy.
Oh, yeah. They play loosey-goosey with HIPAA. Yeah, no doubt about that. This is fascinating. Yeah. I'm not surprised by what you're telling me. And, Dave, we've been talking about that issue on this show, not with regard to the military, but within the general population. They're not even sharing that information. So, but you're telling me that they're being told, do not release any information about soldiers, military personnel who might have side effects.
That is in both civilian and military.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how many times there are. Well, in fact, there's been individual stories of people who have gone to local news stations, places like that, and they said, and there's one news station, I won't mention which one, here in eastern North Carolina, because I'm back and forth. I'm on all these military bases and stuff, and it's amazing what I hear. But there is one news station who came out, and I'm trying to remember now what the issue was, but instead of saying this was said, it was it could have been this. They reported it as somebody specifically said something, and I'm trying. There was one of the recent things. Oh, it was Mark Meadows, Mark Robinson.
Okay, real quick here, Dave. Yeah.
Who made his comment, and everybody took it out of context recently. Remember that about the transgender thing?
Okay, yep.
And that station reported that he did, in fact, make that comment. And I thought, see right there, I'm done with them because they
lie.
Manipulated.
Yeah,
they lie. And manipulated. And if Mark Robinson was our next governor, I said this.
Okay,
when I was
Dave, we got to move on here. I'm terribly sorry, but I think we got your point there, and I want to try to stay focused on that, and thank you for the call. But Dave here is saying that the military, and that is a very, very heavily populated area with military personnel, a lot of military bases out there, and he says, hey, look, they're being told, do not release any information about soldiers, about Marines who might be suffering these side effects. And I do not doubt that one bit. 844-747-8868. All right, we're going to go to Diana. But before we go to Diana, so Diana, hang tight. I want to bring in the managing editor for ToddStarnes.com. You read his stories every single day. One of my former colleagues at Fox News Channel, Caleb Park. Caleb, good to have you in the studio today.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be here with you.
And so you're from the Midwest.
Yes,
all right,
right.
So Ohio.
Yes, O-H.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I-O. Is that it? All right.
Yes.
Got it. I want to bring in Diana here for a minute. We were talking about Shoney's. Do you guys have Shoney's in Ohio?
We might. I am not. I've seen Shoney's, but I haven't been there.
Okay. Well, Shoney's was like a go-to for us as kids. And we were just wondering what kind of happened to Shoney's. They went they went away. Most of them have gone away. Let's go to Diana, Olive Branch, Mississippi, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Diana, what can you tell us about Shoney's?
Hey, Todd. Well, most all of the Shoney's franchises in the Memphis area were owned by a single individual. His name was Frank Given. He developed health problems and had to either sell or close all of his stores. The ones he sold, like you and I know, kind of went downhill. And I'm not even sure if there are any left in Memphis. The last one I knew of was on Covington Pike, and I'm not even sure if it's still open.
Is that right? You know, did you go there when growing up in the Mid-South?
Oh, yes. Oh, it was, like you say, it was a big deal. And actually, it was the hot fudge cake
and the strawberry pie. Yes, that's it, the hot fudge cake. Caleb, yes. Have you had such a thing, the hot fudge cake?
I'm not a big chocolate person, so.
All right, we'll fix that.
Yeah,
we'll work on that.
I'll try it, though.
But, Diana, what came close at Cracker Barrel, and they used to do this, I don't mean to speak heresy here, but I don't think Cracker Barrel is as good today as it once was. And I don't know why, but that's just my general observation. But back in the day, Diana, they used to have something called a double fudge Coca-Cola chocolate cake.
Yes, I remember that.
I remember I was out on the campaign trail years ago, and I pulled into a Cracker Barrel, and of all places, Buffalo, New York. And that's, I said, I got to have some Coca-Cola cake and a cold glass of milk. That'll
those
do
are the
it.
Days, huh?
Diana, those were the good old days. The good old days. All right. Well, Diana, thank you for listening to us, and thanks for especially listening to us on KWAM, our great station. All right, we lost Diana there. But
Todd, do you remember when we were at the NRB in Nashville and we went to Cracker Barrel? And do you remember what you ordered?
The National Religious Broadcasters. And it was an exhausting day.
Yes.
I mean, it was like 15-hour, 16-hour day. We sit down with the family. And I remember you were there.
Yeah, we were with your Aunt Lynn and Uncle Jerry. And the waitress comes over and she's got three stars on her apron. So, you know, she's a good waitress. And you said, can I get the sweet baby Jesus carrots? And she just
sweet baby. Jesus. Yeah, that is sweet baby Jesus. I remember that. I said, I want the chicken, the corn and the sweet baby carrot, the sweet baby Jesus carrots.
And I always get the chicken fried chicken or the Country fried chicken?
Country fried chicken.
And that's my go-to. But I do have to agree with you. I do think it has gone down because we used to go to Cracker Barrel after church on Sundays, kind of stopped going, and we went with my uncle when he was visiting recently. I want to say it's the supply chain shortage or something.
The plates look a little skimpy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Some things have changed, and I don't think it's for the better.
No, I'm with you on that. I don't know why. All right, we're going to talk about your column, but I think we've created a stir with Shoney's. Let's go to Barbara in Georgia, WDUN. Barbara, I understand you worked for Shoney's.
I did, right out of high school, and then became an area manager for the ones in Atlanta. And we were separate from the franchise owned out of Tennessee. And our food was a lot better. But unfortunately, our president and one of our directors got greedy, embezzled a lot of money, and eventually we had to close all the stores.
Is that right?
Yes.
I would have loved the recipe for that the hot fudge cake. Is that what they call it? That was so good.
It's easy to make. You just make a devil's food cake, cut it in half, put ice cream in the middle, hot fudge on top, Cool Whip.
Oh.
Terry, you got it.
All right, Caleb is salivating here. Barbara, this is it's unseemly, but it sounds delicious, actually. So, my goodness. Well, where's the go-to now? Because, again, people used to go to Shoney's all the time. So, where do folks go now over there in Georgia?
We actually, one of our little local malls in off of Discover Mills Malls, they have a Shoney's to go. And it's just a small portion of what Shoney's used to serve. But it's better than not having Shoney's at all, because Shoney's was awesome.
You know, it was. And I'm telling you, I used to, for kids, you would get the coloring, Caleb. They would give you this really cool thing, like a placemat that you could, like, do puzzles and color.
Oh,
and
nice.
They had the big boy, you know, with the red and white checkered overalls.
Oh, yeah.
And that burger was amazing.
I worked for Shoney's when we actually opened up the first breakfast bar at the restaurant.
They did have a good, I remember they did have a good breakfast too. It's good stuff.
Did.
All right. Well, Barbara, thanks for the trip down memory lane there. And thanks for helping us figure out what happened. That and Stuckey's, those were the two that I always kind of wondered what happened.
I did some research really quick, Todd, and there is one Shoney's located in Dover, Ohio, which is northeast Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
So you've got to try that. I mean, you're moving down to the South.
Yes.
And so we're trying to acclimate you to the Southern way of life.
Yes.
And we're trying to figure out, Grace, I think we've done a pretty good job here of trying to acclimate Caleb.
Yeah, except when he tries to mock my Southern accent.
Uh-oh.
What accent?
That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
oh, no. I'm not going to do my Southern accent on air.
Well, no, we don't want
I'm
you to fake it. Yeah, you can't fake it. I mean, don't pull a Mitt Romney on us.
It'll develop over time.
Yeah, don't
I'm
do
just
that.
Trying to replace guys, like you guys, with y'all.
Because here's the
He is getting better at that.
Can we just talk about the state of national talk radio for a moment? all of the national talk radio hosts of prominence all are from the New York area. So they have those big New York, Bronx, or Long Island accents. Uh-huh. And so we need some southern, we need some other dialects.
Diversity.
And what we also need is for our listeners to call in and give Caleb some advice. You know, moving from the Midwest to the South, what are some things that he should prepare for? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Real quick, though, Caleb, you came on to talk about your column, which is a terrific column, and I want you to give us a lowdown of what this is all about.
Yeah, so this week, I was, you know, watching the election on Tuesday night. It kind of reminded me of 2016 again. It was shocking. I was not expecting what happened in Virginia and New Jersey. And when you saw Winsome Sears give her victory speech, I actually had never heard of her before. And then Edward Durr out of New Jersey, another person I had never heard of, who ultimately won his race 2 days later. But these are both two people that the corporate media tends to mock and defame, and they remind me so much of the people I grew up with, my friends, family, people that are extraordinary, have these incredible stories, and you just think about, like, only in America can this happen. And so that's what I shared in this column, was just how they inspired me and reminded me that anybody can do, you know, can have a political upset or do, you know, find your American dream.
It is a great column, and folks, you can find it at toddstarnes.com. Can you stick around for a minute?
I can do that.
We've got some more phone calls coming in. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Great. This is the Todd Starnes Has Heart Surgery musical anthem. Not only that, not only am I always triggered by Dancing Queen, Caleb Park, I had a bad relationship, and she was a big ABBA fan, and we took her to see Mamma Mia.
We know they just came out with a new album for the first time in 40 years.
Yeah, and it was just as bad. Just as bad. 40 years later. Hey, all right, let's go to the phones here. Caleb Park, our managing editor, Grace Baker, Georgia. Jerry Lynn has some advice for Caleb on moving south. All right, Jerry Lynn, what's your advice?
Well, my advice, Mr. Todd Starnes, and I absolutely love and adore you. My advice for Caleb, I'm born and raised in Georgia, Caleb, the thing you need to remember is Jesus first, mm-hmm. y'all, sweet tea.
Oh, Jerry Lynn, you broke up there. What was the last one?
The AR-15, honey. We all packing in the South, Todd.
We're all packing in the South.
Wait, I need to.
Right, honey.
I'm getting my notepad out right now and putting those. Thank you so much, Jerry Lynn. That's good.
Jerry Lynn,
Todd, I'm sorry.
We should put that on a T-shirt.
That's good.
I am, Todd, and I'm going to put Biden's face beside the last one, so there you go.
Jerry Lynn.
Todd Starnes, I want to tell you, there's a special place for you in heaven, my sweet friend.
Well,
I just love you, Todd.
You are kind to say that. Jerry Lynn, we're going to meet one day in person, and we're going to have a good old time. So I'll buy you some sweet tea.
Honey, and I'm going to bring you some sweet tea, Mr. Todd.
Woo! All right, now. Talk
and
to
some
me.
Pecan pie, woo! Honey.
Talk to me, Jerry Lynn. Talk to me. All right, you be good, Jerry Lynn. Have a great weekend. Let's go to my realtors on the line, Vicki Gandy from Go Team Gandy. All right, Vicki, how are you?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
We've got about a minute left, Vicki.
Okay. Well, Caleb, I've got some great advice. Of course, she stole a couple of my ideas. First of all is the gun. You've got to learn to shoot and shoot well, okay?
Yep.
Secondly, you've got to have the tea, the sweet tea, of course. The third thing is you've got to learn to like grits, whether it's cheese grits or some sort of grits. Oh, let me tell you, you come to my house. I will make you the best grits.
Okay. Deal.
Absolutely. And then the rest of it, you put gravy on everything. Okay.
Awesome.
Always have your gravy. Chicken gravy. Milk gravy. Got to have it.
That sounds good.
And you got to. And you need a realtor. GoTeamGandy.com.
There you go.
Yes,
there you
I'll
go.
Be calling cool. you, Vicki.
Absolutely. We will find you a house, honey. I promise. Okay.
Thank you.
I love,
love
it.
You, Todd. Love
Vicky.
You, y'all. And you too, Grace.
All right. Great hearing from you. Folks, okay. One of the nicest ladies in the world, and she is an incredible realtor. Kayla, she will find you a house.
Yeah. I'm excited.
And they're just a lot of fun. Go team. And by the way, we've got to give a shout out.
Yep. Today is my mom's birthday, Catherine Park. And so I just want to say happy birthday from me at the Todd Starnes radio show.
All right. Happy birthday, Catherine, over there in Ohio. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. We look forward to seeing you in Pascagoula tomorrow. Get out there. Have a great Friday. And folks, whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.